Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of Healthspan Academy. I'm your host, Craig Shearhart, here with my co-host, Kyle Freiberger. Our guest today is Robert Taylor, who specializes in sleep therapy. He has 12 years of experience in the field of sleep medicine. Originally got his education in the Texas School of Sleep Medicine and started his own company called TaylorMade Sleep. So we're excited to have him here and start this conversation. Taylor, thanks for being here, man.
Oh, man. Thank you so much for inviting me. It's an absolute pleasure.
Pleasure's ours as well, man. So I want to start this. This is, I feel like the whole field of sleep has just vastly expanded, and it's like been linked to like dementia and all kinds of, there's a crazy whole bunch of different ways we could take this conversation, but I want to start with how you got into this, what made you interested in it, and how this kind of your company unfolded. Give us a bit of a brief history.
Yeah. Okay. So not to try to make it long winded, I, prior to even getting into sleep, used to build power plant engines on oil rigs and compressors from the ground up. Yeah. Like, so like everybody sees the size of a piston in a vehicle that fits in your hand. I was used to lifting pistons the size of your head and literally, you know, toting them around. So everything I did was manhandled. Like, everything I did was power. Everything I did was, I'm going to break some, you know what. And I was going to go to school for nursing because I was a nurse's aide in high school. So I always loved the medical field. And I was like, you know what, after serving in the military and doing, you know, the oil and gas thing, and it just, I just wasn't feeling it anymore. It's like, I kind of wanted to get back into medical. So I was going to go to nursing school, and the girlfriend at the time was a manager at a big time sleep lab clinic thing. They had labs, at least 20 locations in Texas, which is nuts, to be quite honest. You know, they since went under. So I'm not going to mention their names, but, but yeah, she said, you know what, why don't you look into this, do this at night and go to school during the day. And I was like, I looked into it and I was like, yeah, whatever. It sounds pretty cool. It's air conditioned. And she was like, well, how much are you making now? And this was back in 2005 or 2006 or something like that. And I was making $15 an hour, killing myself in the hot sun, whatever. She said, starting, we would start you off at 17. Ha! Booked my ticket, went to Texas school. And honest to God, that was my main reason for going. Amazing. You're going to pay me $17 an hour to sit on my ass and watch someone sleep? So I was just like, heck yeah, while I study. So I didn't really take it all that serious until I went to the Texas School of Sleep Medicine. Right. And then as I was, it's a really cool program because you learn during the day, and at night, it's an actual lab that sees patients. So you can get book smart during the day and literally perform, help perform studies and learn and literally look at the actual studies being recorded and read them in real life to get all that experience. By the time you leave this program, which is at the time I went, I think it was just a couple of weeks. I think it's a month now, but at the time I went, it was a couple of weeks. I left ready to work. So the minute I left, I had a job already. I told, you know, the oil and gas, bye-bye. And I literally started that exact same night right when I got out. And I never looked back. I think the thing I learned the most in that school that just had me hooked was how sleep affects every aspect of your life. Yeah. I always say sleep affects 300 different aspects of your life. Right. You can name any aspect that you're going through in life. I guarantee to you sleep affects it. Right. And it doesn't even matter what it is. Right. And I was just really hooked on that because at that time I was one of those guys that I'll sleep when I'm dead. And, you know, sleep is overrated. I sleep maybe 2 hours and I'm go, go, go. You got to push through. And when I learned that that's stupid, like that's a dumb way of thinking. It literally changed my life. And I think the thing that I guess really, really just cemented it for me is the first patient I had, he was an adult. He had no idea why he was always tired. He was just tired and just depressed and all these ailments, right? And just wake up hating life because he's always tired, fatigue. Everything is difficult for him. We tested him. He had severe apnea. Wow. He came back, same patient. We treated him. He woke up a brand new man, like, holy hell. He went home and made a run at the wife and all kinds of stuff. Like, literally, we got an email about it. So it was like, whoever did this patient, you saved this man's marriage. He's talking about his sex drive and he wants to work out. Yeah, it's just, it was like, wow. And that moment, I was like, I literally changed this man's life in basically one night.
That's unbelievable.
I'm never going to get that feeling doing anything else. So, and that's what prompted me to continue on in sleep.
That's very cool. I can fully identify that. In grad school, I thought I could do everything. You have those like the 20 something superpower mindset. You're like, man,
yeah,
whatever. I'll sleep when I'm 50 or when I'm dead or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, I mean, until I was partway through my business and I was like, okay, I'm doing fine.
Right.
And then I listened to a podcast by Matthew Walker on Peter Attia, and it was a three-parter on sleep. And I listened to the entire thing and he was like, yeah, sleep is like a major predecessor to like dementia and all this stuff. And I was like, man, yeah, I guess I should probably start sleeping. And he's like, and everybody I think goes through that where you're like, you think you're invincible and you think you don't need sleep, but it's crazy. And the research doesn't lie. So I love that story. That's such a quick turnover. I want to transition into a little bit of where you start someone. When someone comes into their clinic for looking for help in their sleep, because we've got so many factors that factor in nutrition and you know, exercise regimen and mental health and, you know, their habits around sleep and exposure to blue light, where do you start? What kind of questions do you ask and how do you start to formulate a solution for somebody that's looking to optimize their sleep?
Well, generally speaking, when people come to you, they know they have a problem, right? So we start off with pretty much, what exactly is it that's bothering you? And then maybe later on, we'll get into exactly what my company does and how we're different and why I started it. I don't want to make anything long-winded and have you guys here till tomorrow. But you want to start with what is your major complaint? Why are you here? Why do you feel personally you need to have a sleep study? And I ask patients that, like, why do you think you need to have one? And generally speaking, 90% of the time, my wife wants me to do it. So that like really screws me up. Like, oh shit. Okay. Well, what are some of the complaints your wife has about just sleeping? And she's like, well, she says I do this. She says I do that. And she's like, I snore, I gasp for air, I toss and turn. It scares her, you know, when I sleep. And I was like, yeah, she says that because that's actually happening to you. I'm like, I get so irritated when people say, well, my wife says I snore. That means you snore, you idiot.
Like that's like just making this stuff up. Like, just to create fights.
Why would she make it up? Like, why? So we start with, you know, but then we gradually, like after making fun of them, when I do that, I make it loose. I'm not shy. I don't have a filter. I just, I tell you exactly like it is.
That's and I'm like, look.
Either she just, you know, you obviously know she doesn't want your life insurance because she wants to save your life. This is probably it. Otherwise, she'll just let you choke in your sleep. But there may be some other things going on. So as we address the initial obvious factors, you snore, you're tired, your wife says you stop breathing. Now it's like, okay, how are you feeling? Like dead serious. When you wake up, how do you feel? Do you feel like you're ready to tackle the day? Or does it take you 3 or 4 hours to actually come to after drinking 4 or 5 cups of coffee and gradually gets there? Yeah, I'm a little groggy at times. I was like, how about your memory? Do you feel like it's a bit foggy, fuzzy? You're having a hard time remembering things occasionally. You know what? Now that you think about, say about, yeah, you know, I do. It's tough sometimes. I'm like, and do you constantly go to the restroom in the middle of the night? Like, and how often? Like, do you wake up constantly? And, you know, the answer, yeah, I wake up. I probably go to the restroom 3 or 4 times times a night. And they're like, yeah. I'm like, are you on any fluid pills, things of that nature? No. Okay. And then we get into the history, any high blood pressure, heart issues, things of that nature. And gradually, you know, the reason I'm so upfront and the reason I joke with people and the reason my company is the way it is, I don't want it to be automated, right? Like a lot of telehealth services, you go and you check, you qualify with no explanation or education. And I think that's BS. I want to build a connection with that patient so that when I do get a diagnosis on him or when we do get down to the bottom of it, he knows that for a fact, if I'm mentioning something that is going to help him, whether it's a mass, excite, MRD, whatever. Whatever therapy I'm asking him to do, I am asking him to do because I give a damn about his situation. I understand that you're tired. I understand that you are slacking at work because one, you always have a hard time staying awake after 12 o'clock. Productivity is suffering. You're not having sex with your wife. Your marriage is actually falling apart. Mm-hmm. You now sleep in separate bedrooms and you've been doing that for years. So all that stuff actually comes out as you're talking to him. So it's just like, okay. And this is why I think you need to have a sleep study. The gasping for air, your snores and this and that causes oxygen deprivation, which is causing you to have memory loss, mm-hmm. which is early onset signs of what? Dementia.
Yeah,
exactly. Just like that, right? If you're peeing constantly in the middle of the night, most people get misdiagnosed and think you have a prostate issue. Most people sit there and think, do you have a diabetes issue? In actuality, if you have severe apnea, due to the fact that it speeds your heart up, slows it down, speeds it up, slows it down, you start to build up excess fluid. How do you think that fluid has to come out? You have to pee. So it gives you that sensation. So there that you go sense. There, right? Oh. Tossing and turning, the headaches, oxygen deprivation. You have that hangover effect, right? Like, so I literally start explaining stuff to him as to, here's what I think is going on with you. And correct me if I'm wrong. And I go through the whole gauntlet of maybe this is how you're actually feeling. And for the most part, I'm pretty accurate. And they're like, you're spot on. That's exactly how I'm feeling. I'm like, and this is exactly why you need to have the study, is because if this is the issue and it is as severe as I think it is, if we fix this, all of those issues that we just mentioned start to get better, right? Yeah. Energy level is there. So you know what's going to happen with the wife? Oh, yeah. It's on, all right? Work, productivity at work, making money. A lot of people don't really realize how much money is spent on lost wages in wellness and in corporations. It's in the billions every year. Of people calling in sick or people just riding the clock and not being productive. And companies are constantly losing money. Well, if companies are losing money, you seriously think you're not eventually going to be losing money?
Yeah.
Like, really think about it, right?
For sure.
And it's not generally until something major happens, like you get a gut punch, like a stroke or heart attack, or a very, very scary moment to where, damn, heart disease and stuff like that, to where it's like, I think I really need to focus on my sleep. And the whole purpose and whole goal of what we want to do is we want you to focus on that immediately to prevent all these other major ailments, because those major ailments are going to cost you way more money than just having a damn sleep study.
It's true. Wow. That's great. That was a mouthful, but it was great. Great info.
I tried to rush through it.
That's awesome. So, and what was interesting is that you're basically telling the story of like my father-in-law, who like was always, he's kind of anti, doctors and doesn't go unless he's absolutely necessary. But, he had a lot of those symptoms like memory loss and all that stuff. And no one really was able to connect the dots that it was sleep related. I mean, my partner knew that he was snoring for years and stuff, but, it came to a head. He actually ended up having a stroke a few years ago, and they took him to the doctor and did a bunch of tests, and it ended up just, they tied it all back to sleep apnea, and it's been night and day with him. Just his spirit's better. He's functioning better as a person. He's more pleasant to be around. He's starting to remember. I mean, his memory's still a little foggy, but so it's crazy. I want to ask something specific about snoring, because I know there's snoring and sleep apnea, almost sometimes they're kind of synonymous. Is there a case of good snoring? It's always something you should at least address and be a little bit worried about.
I would. Snoring is not normal, is what I always say. Snoring is a symptom of something that probably could get progressively worse. Mm-hmm. Snoring is an indication that you have a weak muscle palate. You have a muscle in your throat that holds your tongue in place, controls movement, things of that nature. When you snore, it wiggles, it shakes, which is what causes you to snore.
Right.
So if it wiggles and it shakes, you know it's unstable. Mm-hmm. Apnea is when that wiggling and shakes completely falls and closes.
Right.
So if you're already snoring, we know for a fact that
you're on the scale.
Right. Yeah. So it's always good to check, is it primary snoring or are your snores, you literally gasping for air? Right. So a lot of people don't understand too about apnea. An apnea has to last at least a minimum of 10 seconds, right? Mm. How long does it take a UFC fighter to choke someone out? 3 to 4.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So double that equals an apnea. Now that's minimum. I have literally seen people not breathe for a minute and a half and have no earthly idea that is actually happening. So some people sit there and say, oh, and that's another another question I do ask patients when you snore. Is it consistent? Is it pitchy? Mm-hmm. Is it here and there? Is it a crescendo, decrescendo? You know, what does your wife say? She just says it's loud. She says, but sometimes it stops, right? And then sometimes it gets loud again. Okay, that's really important to know. Sometimes it stops and sometimes it gets loud again. What do you think happens when it stops? You're not breathing.
Yeah.
Right? You're having an apnea. And what happens when it's loud? You're gasping for air. You're catching your breath, right? So it's sometimes it's not, the plain Jane questions are easy. Anyone can ask. But sometimes if you dig a little bit deeper, because a person's not going to necessarily know whether they have apnea or not if they're by themselves, right? So you have to learn how to navigate around it sometimes. Some people know they have it, and some people it's just like, she just says, I snore. She never says, I gasp for air, this and that. Well, she may not say you gasp for air, but she says there are pauses in your snores. So, you know, that might be a good indication that there's something
lights wrong. Lights start finally going off.
Right, exactly.
Awesome. Yeah. Wow. That's really cool. So I know Kyle has a few questions about supplements.
I love Kyle.
Yeah,
give me a turn.
Jump
give
in
me
on
a
this.
Turn. I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Like, tag me.
Yeah.
You're in, buddy.
Man, oh man. I know. Just like Craig alluded to, actually, Matt Walker was one of the first resources I started listening to about sleep. And you know, I'm a pilot for my professional career. And you know, until you really have a normal schedule, which I've kind of been allowed to have over the last year and a half.
Right.
Because I haven't been flying. You know, what a difference when I was able to, you know, focus on a consistent sleep routine and stuff. Like my energy is through the roof. I never thought I'd be a natural riser at 6:30 a.m., but I am. I go to bed at 10 and you know, I wear a wearable, like an Oura ring. And
yeah,
you know, the notable difference there is I used to go to bed and my sleep efficiency was like, used to be like 80%. So I would only be getting like 80% of that time I'd be sleeping. Whereas now I'm like 90 plus. So, you know, it was very eye-opening. And then another story, like Craig was talking about sleep apnea story. When I became aware of the sleep issues and sleep apnea and started actually learning about what it was, there was actually a colleague of mine that, you know, super tired all the time. And, you know, I knew just from what he was describing and, you know, I basically took a little bit of initiative and sent him some articles and sent him some, just some resources. And that, like, it, you know, he was an older gentleman and, you know, we go through life thinking, oh, it's his problem. It's not my problem. Or he doesn't want me to tell him his problem or, you know, but we just kind of give, you know, go find that information, give him the resource. Cause you know, maybe he hasn't gone and Googled sleep apnea because he hasn't become aware, but apparently the moment he became aware, he took himself and got help. And, you know, within a few months he was like a refreshed man. And he was like, he wrote me the longest email thanking me for that one thing that I did. And it's just like, wow. Right. So awareness and, you know, a lot of my initial questions you've answered already because it was all about awareness. Right. You know, what are people looking for? And like you said, the proactiveness is key. We don't want to wait until we get that stroke or have Alzheimer's or, you know, whatever that result is of sleep apnea or, you know, sleep deprivation in general. So the next question I kind of have for you is taking us through what the sleep test process looks like. And then if somebody has sleep apnea, what are the methods used? And then basically what can people expect as a result?
Awesome. Okay. So the process, I will go over pretty much the traditional process, which is why so many people do not get tested. and then I'll go over my process, which is why I'm trying to get people tested. So the traditional process is this, and I'm glad Craig's mentioned this before. Who the hell wants to go to a doctor anymore? Mm-hmm. Like gradually as years have gone on, I think a lot of people have smartened up, and I don't know how it is, you know, there. I know here, it's not sad to say that you don't have, like, there are bad doctors out there. There are doctors doing fraud. There are doctors that see, you know, Maria over there as a number, not as a patient. And so nowadays, due to reimbursement cuts and things of that nature, it's a volume game. You have to see 40 or 50 patients a day in some cases, or some docs even see 40 or 50 patients before lunch.
That's
how
insane.
Are you accurately going to assess a patient, you literally, the doctor themselves, spend 2 to 3 minutes with. The medical assistants are the ones doing just a questionnaire and this and that, but no one's getting education. Mm-hmm. No one's being told, this is why I think you need to have this done and this and this. And when I ran labs, so I ran traditional labs for a good while and did startups and things of that nature. When we would get those patients, they would have no idea why the hell we're calling. It was just like, hey, your doctor wanted you to have a sleep study. Really? I didn't know nothing about it. But I mean, obviously he sent a referral, so let's just talk about it and see or whatever. And these people literally, aside from Medicare, if you're commercial insurance, you have a good high deductible. So the process is go to your doctor, get a referral from your doctor. That referral gets to a sleep lab. Sleep lab verifies your insurance, contacts you. You have no idea why we're contacting you, but we're going to contact you anyway. We're going to attempt to educate you and ask the most generic basic questions so we can get you on and off the phone as fast as possible, because we have other patients that we actually have to schedule. We then will proceed to verify your insurance and know that you have a high deductible and ask you to pay about $800 to $900 for just the initial study. You will then pay that money because, well, you're like a blind sheep. And at that point, if your doctor says, hey, do it, you're going to do it. Yeah. And a lot of cases, that is how it used to be. You do that study. 2 or 3 weeks later, you get your results. The results basically say you have apnea. You need to come in for treatment. Okay. You go back and visit your doctor. You come back to us. Another $900 for the second study. Okay. We treat you, this and that. Send the results to your doctor. You have to go back to your doctor to get those results because he has to sign and fill out that prescription. That prescription goes to a DME company. And guess what? Your deductible is still freaking high. So you know how much you're paying for medical equipment? $1,500 to $1,700. Wow. $1,700, $900, $900, $200 per doctor visit.
Wow.
How much money is that? Right. And that's a 3 to 4 month process just to get down to the bottom of your sleep. So that is what traditional route makes you do, which is why 26 million patients go undiagnosed every year, which is why so many people look these days, the information's out there, right? Mm-hmm. You can Google daytime fatigue, boom, sleep experts, this, boom, 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 boom. Mm-hmm. It comes up. These days, mm-hmm. It's hard for me to basically sit there and say, well, you didn't know where to go. No, you do know where to go. You just don't want to freaking do it because yeah. You hear all the stories, it's so cumbersome, right? Yeah. 3 months, and then your only option after doing all that is always a mask. There's no other option if you go to a lab, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that is why I started my company. I got so tired and I felt so guilty taking that much money from people when I knew for a fact that there could be a better way. I would run into, I got so tired of it, I started doing travel neurodiagnostics to help underserved communities and hospitals that needed to do sleep studies on their patients because they didn't have enough qualified techs. And everywhere I went, just in the airport, people would ask, hey, what do you do for a living? I tell them, oh my God, my husband badly needs one. How do I get one done? And I would have to tell them that process.
Oh,
and that,
right.
That ticked me off because I know for a fact, well, hell, he's not going to do that.
Yeah, so anybody.
Right. So I was like, what if, okay, the number one reason, you don't want to go to a doctor, right? Okay, I take that off. I'll solve that problem. You don't want to go to a lab. Who the hell wants to? You're hooked to 60, 70 wires, sleeping in a bed you're not familiar with. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, I'm watching you through a camera. And you have to ask permission to go pee whenever you have to go pee, you have to ask.
Night, night. Have a great sleep.
Have to ask permission.
Yeah, go have a perfect sleep in that environment. Right?
Right, exactly. Not too many people want to do that. Also, too, you have to spend $900. They pop probably on average $6 to $1,000 per study. Mm-hmm. Who wants to do that? Right?
Right.
Okay. So I built my program. We generate our own referrals. You come do online booking whenever you want to do an evaluation, which to us is like a doctor visit. Here's what we do though. I do those for free. I don't charge people for evaluations because I want them to be educated, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
There's no obligation to it. Okay. So I've taken away the first issue you have. You don't want to see a doctor? You don't need to. Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't want to go to a lab. Well, we're a telehealth clinic. So we literally will ship you a home unit to you so you can actually just put it on 3-lead system, sleep in your bed. And it tells me everything I need to know, everything, unless you have a rib behavior disorder or seizures, something more advanced other than I just want to know if my snores or apnea and things of that nature. If it's more advanced than that, go in lab. But if that's all you want to know, you can do it at home. Okay. Price. Are you paying $900 a study? No. You're paying way less than that. And the turnaround time is literally in a week. Also, we do alternative methods of treatment. So it's not just PAP therapy. It's we take the evaluation and we take the diagnosis, mesh them together to find out what realistically is the best option for you, right? So that's the old process. New process, book online, do an evaluation with a specialist, which myself, which is kind of the questions that we went over earlier. Say you want to follow through with a sleep study. Okay, great. I explained to you exactly what the product is, how it works, this and that, yada, yada, yada. We take purchase, we ship it that exact same day. It'll get to you about 2-3 business days. You have 3 nights to sleep with it. 3 nights. You pick one of those nights. We just need one night, but you pick one of those nights.
This isn't a long-term relationship.
Yeah. I want my unit back, damn it. Like, come on. You sleep with it for one night. You ship it back. We pay for the expedited shipping to and from. We get the results. We tie it in with the evaluation. We call you back. We basically, you know, try to get 15, 30 minutes with you explaining exactly every aspect of that study and why this is so important, why this diagnosis is so important is because it's linked to all these other issues. And then we go down all the alternative methods that you actually qualify for, that we make the recommendation on which one we think you should go with, but we let you make the decision at the end of the day. And that's it. And that takes maybe roughly a week and a half till treatment versus 3 to 4 months and $35,000 to $4,000.
Wow. Wow. And then on that, after that process, what is the, you know, what would a typical client with severe like sleep apnea, like what are they expecting for the road to recovery?
Generally speaking, if it's really, really that severe, the best option of treatment that's going to give you the most bang for your buck would be a PAP machine, auto PAP. Mm-hmm. Auto PAP, we set a minimum pressure and a max pressure, and it does all the work. So with an auto PAP, you don't have to go to a lab, because when you go to a lab, it's just CPAP. It's one initial pressure. What they don't tell you is that every 2 years, you have to come back and be retested on that pressure to stay compliant. Because if you gain 5 pounds or lose 5 pounds,
it's be recalibrated.
Exactly. But with an auto PAP, if you gain 5 and lose 5, the machine's automatically going to adjust as you adjust. If you need more air, it's going to give it to you. If you need less air, it's going to give it to you. It's so smart, it develops an algorithm for you to where it's timed. It knows exactly exactly what to do. So I definitely, if it's that severe, that or Inspire, which is a surgery, but if you are just hell-bent, can't wear a mask and things of that nature, Inspire would be the absolute best option for you. It's a device they put into your body surgically. It's surgery. I'm not even going to say none of it. It's surgery. Damn it. And it basically run a line to your muscle palate. And then with a remote, you activate the device and it basically sends a small electronic shock to stimulate the muscle palate to lock it up. It has a really, really high success rate. It's just, you have to have surgery to do it. And in a lot of cases, a lot of people love to do it because they're not wearing a mask. And if you go non-compliant on PAP therapy, you automatically qualify for it.
Right. And then, so just back to the PAP therapy, the moment you put that mask on and you sleep that first night, like, are you waking up? Like you're waking up without having gone through a night of sleep apnea and you're going to notice the differences like within a day. Is that safe?
Generally speaking, in some cases though, with it being so severe and how long it's been that way, your brain needs some time to repair the neurons, right? Now you should feel better. I no doubt should feel better. Yeah. It would infuriate me when I ran labs and these truck drivers that just didn't want to use it would wake up, I didn't feel a damn thing. This is a scam. It's like, dude, you were in REM for 2 hours.
Yeah.
You just wake up, not give me any credit. And then I see an email or something later that the guy is feeling great. And it's not like you check us. Couldn't tell me that. Yeah.
Sometimes that's hard. And then, you know, for long-term apnea, is there like diet, exercise, any recommendations as you, like, would you refer a client to you know, lose weight, or is that always correlated with being overweight, you know, sleep apnea, or?
It is a connection. It is not the connection.
Right.
Okay. Even I've done studies on athletes that have it and this and that on obesity. Yeah. Wow. So I have it and I'm not obese at all. And if you think I am, don't say anything. let's be real. Exercising and dieting are always good life choices.
Always going to be a good thing.
Right? Always going to be a good thing. Depending on what you eat prior to going to bed or the food you eat, you know, and during the day, it will affect your sleep. Now, it may not affect the apnea, but it will affect depth of sleep, your architecture, and your rhythm, right? Which is a story for a whole nother
conversation. Yeah, that's another podcast episode.
Yeah. But your dieting definitely helps. Exercising definitely helps. But I mean, to be quite honest, if you have apnea, it doesn't go away, right? You're always going to have to treat it. So it doesn't matter whether you're on PAP therapy, you're going to have to use that every night for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. Inspired, you're going to have to always have that device. Excite, you're always going to have to use it. Like every therapy, you're going to always going it, to, it's just something that is not, unless they come up with a surgical procedure that literally cuts your throat open and which no one's going to want to do, but your muscle palate is a muscle. Gradually, as you go older, muscles deteriorate. So it's going to deteriorate gradually as you get older. You just have to catch it early and always do maintenance on it.
Right.
Awesome. One more question and then I'll pass it over for Craig for some closing questions. And then Craig was probably going to ask this anyways, but your habits specifically, like, what habits, I guess, now that you're more aware of your sleep, and I'm kind of going to touch more specifically on sleep, because again, like, I'm always looking for the next, biohack or longevity hack or something to do with my sleep. And, you know, we've had our little conversation on the phone, and I think it was a 15-minute consult that turned into an hour of us just geeking out and talking about several different sleep things. What would be your like main advice for just getting a good sleep? Is it diet, not eating before bed, blue light blocking glasses, to de-stressing? Like what are your habits there?
I would say all of the above, to be quite honest. Mm-hmm. Like everything has a rhythm. Mm-hmm. Everything has a rhythm. Your life has a rhythm. Music has a rhythm. This and that. Find your rhythm. Find the foods that make you feel restorative during the day. Nuts, bananas, natural sugars, and things of that nature. Don't always eat a cheeseburger. You know what I mean? Like your dieting does help. It does make have a huge effect on you, to where you can get all the sugar and all the nutrients you can out of eating healthier rather than grabbing an espresso and things of that nature. So that affects the blue light, which is really important. Limit that. Prior to bed, within 2 to 3 hours of sleep, pull back on the blue light, pull back on being on your phone, pull back on being on your laptop, pull back on doing reels and things in the energy. Don't bring your work to the bedroom. Make sure that your home is a place of peace. Make sure that when you walk in, you literally feel weight being lifted off your shoulder, not more weight being put on. Make sure the room is nice and cold. Find fragrances. I love telling people this. Fresh linen for me. If I jump in the sheets and I smell it, it's something that is so childlike, and it's something that just it relaxes you.
Nostalgic,
right.
I like that one.
Yeah. So that matters. A dark room always, nice and cold, extremely cold. And a lot of people complain about, I don't like it cold. You know, it's a lot easier to warm yourself up than it is to cool yourself off, especially when you're trying to sleep. Cool. Right. So when you're cold, you're going to find a spot on the bed and you're not going to want to move as much once you get in your comfort zone. Okay. And then allow yourself to relax, allow yourself to release. If you need to take melatonin before bed, do it. I have no issues with people taking natural herbs for sleep. I have an issue with people popping Ambien like it's Skittles. That is my problem. I cannot stand people, I've been on Ambien for 3 years. Are you effing kidding me? But you haven't taken a break. So find your rhythm and stick with it. Develop a pattern. Develop and don't deviate from it. Because at that point, when you get into that rhythm, your brain and your body are going to be in sync. And then at a certain point, it's going to know, it's about an hour to bed. And you can gradually feel your body start giving out because it knows, okay, all right. And if you've done the blue light therapy like you should and have pulled away, the melatonin is going to start secreting. The blue light tricks your brain into thinking that you're still
daytime.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's not going to secrete the natural melatonin needed, which is why a lot of people don't go through their stages. Mm-hmm. Write down thoughts to that bug you. If you don't have somebody to talk to about your day every day, about the things that bother you and the things that stress you out, get a journal and write them down. Because I guarantee you, after a good night's sleep, you're going to go back and read what you wrote down and you may have a solution for them.
Yeah.
Honestly, like there's nothing you can do at a 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night. Yeah. Unless your job requires you to work nights, there's nothing you can do about it at that point. So write it down and come back to it later to figure things out. But don't take that, don't take all that weight and all that stress to your bedroom or to your home. I would say that's the biggest thing that I see a lot of people have a hard time with. We deal with a lot in life regardless. And I know saying that sounds, oh, it sounds easy. And it isn't. I understand that because I've had to deal with it and everyone's had to deal with it. Mm-hmm. But I make sure before I leave home, when I make sure my girl and my son's fine, but I make sure that the house is clean, the bed's ready to go. I make sure everything is where it needs to be. That way, when I walk in, aside from him screaming and yelling and all that other crap, everything else is a place of peace, a place of zen. And I'm good. I can literally feel every time I come home that whatever stress I've had and this and that literally just subsides the minute I walk through to a clean home that has that has a fragrance that just makes you relax. And rain, by the way, who doesn't like sleeping to rain, right? Like when the days are muggy and things like that, you hear the waterfalls and drop and hit the ground and it's muggy and it's nice and cold. What does everybody say? I don't want to leave the bed. This is good cuddling weather.
So true. So
exactly.
True.
So make your room like that. Get a get a noise machine. Have it nice and cold. Cuddle up. Do what you guys do. Whatever it is you need to do. Find whatever it is that relaxes you and aids you and go overboard with it. Get a full dose of that stuff.
I love that. That's golden advice.
I did it for free.
Checks in the mail.
I
want to ask you one more thing and then we'll start to wrap things up. So I've seen a lot of studies lately on the importance of nasal breathing, and I guess it filters our air better and it helps stimulate our parasympathetic state. And personally, because I've broken my nose a bunch of times, I struggle with nasal breathing a little bit, but since I've switched over to nasal strips, it's been helpful. What is your thought on nasal breathing and how important that is in relation to sleep?
It's really important because if you are a mouth breather, your bottom jaw is underdeveloped, right? And so when that happens, that basically makes you susceptible to having more apnea, which a lot of people don't necessarily know. That's why the MRD, which is very effective, it takes your bottom jaw and gradually slides it forward, restrengthen it, restructure it, things in that nature. But yeah, if you are a mouth breather the entire time, you're more susceptible to having lower jaw or upper jaw protrusion to where your lower jaw is actually back. So it's basically going to be like that. So this is your upper jaw and this is your lower jaw and it's like this. And so if it's like this, then you know for a fact that your airway has a higher chance of actually being blocked.
Right.
This happens a lot with little kids too. Mm. A lot of ADHD children have this issue. Mm. And there was a video made not too long ago of a woman with her kid in the backseat, and he was sleeping in the backseat, and he was heartbreaking apnea for me. It was hard for me to watch. And she literally took her two fingers, put them underneath his bottom jaw, slightly pulled it forward, solved the problem.
Wow.
And that's exactly how an MRD actually works.
That's amazing.
And so a lot of people, and this is really interesting with ADHD children. ADHD children have sleeping disorders. They do majority of the time always do. And a lot of people think that the ADHD causes the disorder. In actuality, and research has shown, it's the opposite. The sleeping disorder either exacerbates or could be an initial cause for the ADHD. These kids are still sleep deprived. Yeah. Like they did a study where they put 20 kids in a room, 10 had ADHD, 10 were just really, really sleep deprived.
Mm-hmm.
No one can figure out which one was which. Wow. They look exactly the same.
Wow.
Exactly the same. Hmm. So even kids need to be tested.
Yes. That's bananas. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, I appreciate all the info. I want to circle back.
Is that all the questions you had?
we still got 100 more, man.
Oh my God.
Night is young.
You're coming back, buddy. Yeah. you're going to schedule the next one right away.
Yeah.
I love that. I would love to. It'd be awesome. Yeah.
Taylor, I appreciate you opening up about your own habits. I want to circle back to this a little bit because we know everything feeds into sleep, you know, your mobility work, meditation, diet, nutrition, exercise regimen, you know, basically stress management, all this stuff. So, and it's easy to get lost, I think. So what is your priority right now, you know, on that list? And what do your habits look like around that right now?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. My priority, we talked offline about
de-stressing the house.
Yeah, de-stressing the house. My son's 6 months old. Mm-hmm. So my priority, and I even told my girl this a couple of days ago, to where it's like, look, as a man, when you have a kid, the man has to know he is going to have to sacrifice so much more than she will. And it's not saying that as a bad thing. It's just, you're going to have to, right? Like the whole thing, they carried the kid for 9 months and 18 hours of labor. I'm sorry. Yeah. I was there for all of that.
Yeah.
I'll wake up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. You go ahead and you sleep. Don't you worry. Yeah. The woman's body is absolutely amazing on how they're able to do all that stuff. Mm-hmm. My priority is always making sure that they both get enough sleep. And yes, I sacrifice mine at the moment, mainly due to the fact that his schedule is now a bit more erratic due to the fact that he's growing, teething. So he's more hungry and wants less sleep. Whereas a couple of months ago, he would have a normal schedule, go to bed at 10, wake up at 6 or 7, solid. Now he goes to bed at God knows when, wakes up at 3 or 4, goes back to bed, wakes up at 8, goes back to bed. It's just, you know, it's whatever. So my focus, number one focus, is just making sure my family is good to go, well-rested, health-wise, good to go. Second is always me, making sure my eating habits are still there. Regardless of what time it is, I always try to make it to the gym. It is mental. With mental health being such a big deal in the Olympics and mental health being such a big deal in sports and things of that nature, mentally, you have to try to always do the same things you did prior to having a kid. Meaning you have to always realize, yes, you're a father, but you're also a husband, mm-hmm. right? And the things you did before, working out, staying in shape, being the apple of her eye, this and that, you still have to do that.
Yeah.
Right. Mentally for them, as far as like females go too, that takes a toll on them, especially when the hormonal imbalance, sleep deprivation kicks in too. Mm-hmm. And then your body's not what it used to be. Yeah. Holy hell. You talk about them possibly making your life miserable. So yes, my priority is to make sure I whistle at her 24/7. She gets her workouts in. Get my workouts in. Just making sure that, you know, mentally we're in sync and mentally we're there. And I guess my other priority is just to try to help and spread as much awareness about mental health, about sleep deprivation, about nutrition as I possibly can. And which is why, again, I do consults for free. I don't think it's right to charge people for information that they can literally Google and read. Yeah. It's just, if they Google it and it says mild apnea does this and this and this, and then they come to me, mild apnea does this and this and this. However, why is it mild? This and I go into a little bit more detail. I tell everybody, any show that I'm on, I want my company to be the Coca-Cola of sleep, to where when people think about, man, I want a soda, first option that everybody will offer you is a Coca-Cola, period. Yeah. Or I want a beer.
I need some tailor-made sleep.
There you go. Exactly. Man, I'm tired. Tailor-made, just like that. Like awesome. Immediately, without thinking of any other expert, this and that, they immediately tailor-made sleep. That's exactly where we need to go. They're going to get us done right. And
that's awesome. So
yeah, those two things are honestly my main priority.
That's great, man. Yeah, I love that answer. So yeah, we talked about this before the show a little bit. I know Kyle and I have been crushing podcasts and crushing audiobooks and all kinds of stuff, just trying to absorb as much information now that we're like locked indoors and can't socialize the way we normally do. Is there a reference you've come across since the pandemic hit that stuck with you that you can recommend to us? It could be sleep related. It could be otherwise.
I hate reading books. So
fair enough.
Quotes and good Lord. I would actually look into, there's some good podcasts out there. Mm-hmm. I Am an Athlete, which is, has Brandon Marshall on it. Who used to be a wide receiver in the NFL who suffered from mental illness, and a couple of other veterans on it. And they just let it fly and talk about anything and everything. You can find it on YouTube. It's really, really good. Cool. Obviously Joe Rogan always has good stuff out there. Golly, anything on sleep? Honestly, other than me, there's nothing out there on sleep that doesn't.
anything other than Health Spin Academy. There's no other podcast. Yeah, that's true.
Come on. There was one thing. With all the mental health going on right now, things of that nature, in the Olympics, I think recently there was somebody sent it to me about a doctor that specializes in sleep, literally educated all the Olympians on proper sleep, on how it affects the performance, things in nature, and this and that. Here's something that's really, really interesting that I want people to actually absorb. Simone Biles today basically said, it was yesterday or something like that, but she pulled out from a team event because she just wasn't there. She wasn't in the moment. She tried to do a double flip and ended up being a single flip. And you could tell on her face that something was not right. She was not injured at all. She just pulled herself out of the competition because she didn't want to cost her team a medal. And here's what I say to that. This young woman is tired. This young woman, since she won the gold medal, last 4 years, has been doing commercials, has been on talk shows, has been this, has been that. The weight of the world is on this young lady's shoulders to perform. Mm-hmm. I know that she is just not sleeping properly. She's tired mentally. Sure. She's just not there. The tennis player, same thing. Mm-hmm. Mentally, the stress, being number two in the world, all that comes with being. Is she from Japan? I believe. I hope I'm not mistaken. Japan.
Or Canadian, China. Actually, with withdrew.
Oh, did yeah. Yeah. So there's it's when you're not sleeping. So it I saw that article and I saw all this happening, and I don't think it's a coincidence, right? You need to get your rest. Even as normal individuals, right? I tell my patients, be an athlete, and not in a sense to where work out, train, this and that. What do athletes do, right? You realize that if an athlete is sick, he has to go through a gauntlet of tests by doctors to sit there and say, yes, he can or cannot play. And there's like, literally, you have to literally have a broken leg or torn ACL not to play. Now with concussions being the way it is, concussion, yeah, you're yanked out. If you have the flu, cold, this and that, boop, here's a needle, get out there, right?
Yeah.
They really have no off days. What's really important to them, though, recovery, right? Mm-hmm. What aids recovery? What helps concussions? What helps bones heal? Proper sleep. A lot of them sleep in oxygen tanks. A lot of them do some type of rehabilitation, but sleep, right? Sleep, if sleep is important to people that make millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars, you make maybe $100,000. Why shouldn't sleep be that important to you?
Yeah.
Right. If they're treating their bodies that way, that doesn't mean you treat yours like garbage. So treat yourself like an athlete, not saying spend millions of dollars like LeBron James does on his body, but
that'd be nice.
Yeah. I wish. Good Lord. Proper sleep is so important. Mm-hmm. And I want everybody to absorb these Olympics. The people that have, that have had the eyes on them for these last 4 years prior to, watch their performances. You cannot tell me that the stress and lack of sleep, the traveling, the bad eating, probably the this, the that, the fact that, hey, you're representing your country. In some cases, it's just too much.
Yeah.
It definitely affects how they're sleeping.
For sure. That's great advice. And I love the analogy of the athlete to kind of like the layperson, because it is, mm-hmm. It's kind of how we get our information. Like all research is either like the chronically ill or the athletes, and there's not much for us in the middle. So you're kind of like always extrapolating data from other ways and how to like figure yourself out.
Right.
And I think for me, I'm not a competitive athlete by any means anymore. But my sport is longevity. So like mm-hmm. I scale back to like, how do I recover? So I'm going to live till I'm, yeah. you know, in my hundreds and still be functional and sort of thing. So I love that analogy, and that kind of, that's actually is a good way to sort of wrap up the discussion. Well, thanks so much for being here, Taylor. It was a great, great chat. Appreciate your time. And like Kyle said, we're going to have you on here again at some point.
Until next time, man. Thanks.
Only if Kyle smiles more. Cause
hey, man.
You bring out
the best of me. I just need to take a coaching class from you and get your energy going. What's your pump up song? I gotta get my own pump up song and just blast the music.
We'll put it in the show notes. We'll leave you to think about that.
All roads lead home is my pump up song before I come to work every day. Yes.
Wow. Okay. Nice.
Right.
Nice.
And I do this one thing where I look in the mirror before I leave, and I always tell myself, let's say, I'm worth it. Right. No, it's God dang it. Now I can't remember. Now did you put me on the spot? But it's just like, I am worth it, or I am something and I'm more than enough. Right. Like, it's just like, it's just me doing all this on my own. Mm-hmm. Right. That's more than enough. Right. And so I always reiterate that. And now that I can't remember what it is, it's so stupid now because I can't remember what I said to myself literally a few hours ago.
Fair enough.
Always, we'll get it on the next show.
Outstanding.
Get a good night's sleep, so then we'll talk next. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Right. Rub it in.
Cheers, Taylor. Great chatting today. And we'll see you guys next time on Healthspan Academy.